Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, hi? Thomas, we can hear you.
Yeah, sorry, I have some issues with my computer. Let's start without the Adobe Connect, and then I hope I will be able to join. I don't see the agenda now. Sorry for this. So maybe I can give Alan the floor and let him chair the meeting, and then that's the easiest, probably.
Then let me go to the agenda. All right. The first issue is IGO protections. Thomas, do you or any of your people want to talk about that?
I don't. Well, that's something that was on the agenda of the GNSO, and we basically copy-pasted the agenda. I don't think that there's a big issue with us, with the ALEC, but just to tell you that it seems that the GNSO working group on the PDP and curative rights will come to conclusions or will make recommendations that are not in line with the GAC advice. So again, unfortunately, we will have to see what we then can do, and that may need another facilitation process. I don't know whether you have.
I personally haven't been following that one at all. So, are you in a position to give a quick summary of where the GNSO is going or where the PDP is going?
I don't have the details now with me either, but we made some recommendations. In particular, it's about the fact that they prefer to treat IGO names as trademarks and use the mechanisms, this dispute resolution mechanisms for trademarks. And for legal reasons, the GAC and the IGOs, we also like to use a similar mechanism, but it can't be the same mechanism because in many countries, IGO are not protected as trademarks, but it's under a different legal system. That's one of the issues. And the other one is about the notification mechanism and so on and so forth, and the duration of that notification and the number of issues. But I think, yeah, this is not one of the key issues that we should discuss with each other, so I'm happy to actually go to the next.
Yeah, I'll make one quick comment. As I said, I haven't been following it. When I last looked at it, which was quite a number of months ago, the direction they were talking about then was to not write a complete new procedure, but to, you know, essentially have it have a dual path through it, where the IGO would not be doing anything with regard to trademarks, but since much of the mechanism would be similar, they would use the same words, but it was not a trademark related process for the IGOs. But that was where they were many, many months ago. So I'm not quite sure, you know, that they did exist in the same document, but there was no real overlap between trademarks and the IGO participation in that process. But that may not be where we are right now. I don't know. You know, and I thought that was reasonable because there's no point in it. I didn't see any point in duplicating the process where, in fact, there were commonalities, as long as the IGO process did not actually involve trademarks or dispute resolution, which only applied to trademarks. But that's many months ago. All right, country and territory names is the next item. Currently, the GNSO is ramping up to have their work track 5, which was originally discussed as being similar to a CCWG. The ALAC has agreed to participate with the understanding that we are not bound by any result. That's largely a symbolic statement on our part because us being bound by a result or not doesn't really matter because we don't have a personal stake in the game other than people's individual opinions. The CCNSO has a similar statement. They also say that if all ACNSOs participating do not agree, that the GNSO must revert to the last round's rules. Where is the GAC on this? I know you were talking about naming a co-chair.
Yes, thank you. Well, we are. We've discussed this in the leadership team. We had some discussions in the GAC, and we basically are going in the same direction like the CC and NSO that will, despite the concerns that we have, that we'll say, okay, we'll participate in this. Designate a co-chair, and we also would like to have this working under CCWG type of rules, meaning that there should be kind of a balanced participation in the sense that it's not just 500 people from the GNSO that participate and vote and maybe five from the GAC, but that this should, there should be some kind of balance. With the CCNSO that the outcome should be acceptable to all of the relevant or interested SOACs, and otherwise, things should remain as they are. That's in the making. We're about to send the final version of this reply to the GAC, and once we get that cleared, we will then communicate it to the co-chairs of the PDP.
Okay. My understanding is that the GNSO has said they will not use rules akin to a CCWG where people are appointed, but even for a CCWG, as many people as wanted could participate. The net result, I don't think, is any different, as long as, to the extent that any polls or votes are taken, they balance the group's positions and not just a count of the individuals. So I don't think that makes a big difference. I would have preferred to see appointed people, even if there were additional participants, just because it conveys more of a taste of the CCWG. But it's not clear that that is going to go, but I'm not sure there's any real, result difference between the two, assuming it's run balanced. Have you come to any conclusion on who the your co-chair should be, or is that not something you can share at this point?
We have a designated person, but I before this is cleared by the GAC, I'd rather not share it, but that should come in the next stage.
Okay.
But, I mean, what you say is right. What matters is that independent of who's participating, but when any votes are cast or when consensus calls are made, that is then somehow balanced among the SONACs. That's the essence of the CCWG principle that we'd like to see, of course.
The challenge, of course, is since you're not forced to appoint people to make sure that you do have enough people who are regularly participating, And I suspect on the at-large side that may be a problem as well. When someone's appointed formally, they tend to participate. Not always, but it tends to be better. If it's all purely voluntary, then we could well end up with situations where in many meetings, we or you are not well represented. So hopefully that we can make sure that we identify people who really will participate. And hopefully, in the case of at large, that we have people with a variety of different opinions, because I don't think at large overall has a single position on this. And yet, of course, the people who are most passionately interested in protecting their national names are going to be the ones who will be more vocal. So we have a balance issue even within ourselves that I know ALAC is going to have to address somehow, and I suspect that may be the case with you as well.
Yes, thank you. Well, I mean, the thing is, even if the GNSO is not able to formally ask us for appointing people, we can, in our constituencies, decide that we will appoint a number of people that should represent us and make sure that, in the case of voting and so on and so forth, that this is representative of our constituency. So I think if that is not a formal thing from the outside, we can do it formally within our constituencies. That's what I would see as maybe an option.
Yeah, and I think there's a definite intention or desire to go that way within ALAC as well. We haven't formally had that discussion. All right, the next item is new GTLD subsequent procedures, work track 5, which is what we just discussed. So those two are really, this your second and third items are really the same item.
Ellen,
next
Ellen,
is
if I may.
Yes, go ahead. Who?
Ellen.
Oh, yes, I see Uriah has his hand up.
Yes, right. Thank you.
Thank you. Hadn't noticed. Uriah, please go ahead.
Yeah, this is Uriah Lansipuro. Hello. Yeah, while we are on the new GTLD subsequent procedures, I would like to mention the community-based applications. In fact, Mark Carwell is also on the call, and he has promised to come to the next ALAC call to present a paper, which he's doing on the community-based applications for the GEC. And I just hope that we can develop something before Abu Dhabi on the community-based applications. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Anything else on new GTLD? The item was specifically Work Team 5, but if there is anything in the general case, there was actually a very interesting meeting yesterday on closed generics, and certainly the tone of the overall meeting was how do we encourage innovation and at the same time protect against using dot book by a bookseller, and it's not clear. I propose that we really need rules ahead of time and some sort of perhaps panel decision that if someone is going to apply for a dot books, as it were, that they be able to demonstrate they're doing something, doing it in the public interest, essentially in line with the GAC advice. There was some pushback that no, we should just allow open use of it, but then have a dispute process afterwards to if people were being harmed. And there was a strong feeling among a number of people that a remedial action after the fact essentially is not possible. If a closed generic is now owned by the largest player in the field, small people fighting them is almost impossible and will take forever and is not a practical way to go. So you really have to set the playing field ahead of time. And I thought that was a positive way to go, because one could imagine innovative uses. And the example that was given is if the Red Cross were to register .disaster to funnel money in when there's any disaster around the world, that would not be a bad thing. Other relief organizations might disagree, but it probably wouldn't be a bad thing. But it would have to be demonstrated ahead of time that this is in the public interest and not simply for private benefit. So I thought that was an interesting discussion, and it leaves me a little bit of hope that maybe in some of these questions we will have outcomes that are acceptable. Next item on the agenda is GDPR.
Wait, thank you. Just 1 second.
Sure.
I think thank you for raising the closed generics thing, because that's something that we should also not forget. We should keep in mind, and I think we have a shared interest there that this is actually really done in the closed public interest, in the global public interest. And so thanks for reminding this. I think, Tom, please take notes, and Rob, so that we include this in our deliberations when we discuss the subsequent procedures. Which work track is that? Do you know that?
That is work track. Hold on, I have to check. I think it's work track 4.
So we'll make to see that we don't miss that one out. So thank you for raising this.
The challenge, of course, now is to propose some sort of words and mechanism by which we can that we can put in the applicant guidebook that gives guidance for what is in the public interest and how are we going to measure it and how a panel would judge whether it's in the public interest. And certainly if you can have people participating in that discussion, that increases the chance that we actually will come up with something that's acceptable to us all. It's work track two, sorry.
Thank you. We'll try and see if somebody is there. So thank you.
Okay. And the next meeting, I'm not sure when it is. I think it's sometime next week. We'll be continuing that discussion. So, all right. Next is GDPR. Certainly, the ALAC has an interest. We are not the most involved group, but there are. We obviously have people in Europe who are interested in particular in the GDPR and people from other places where there are comparable privacy laws that there's an interest in. It's not at all clear how we're going forward at this. ICANN is going ahead with presenting something to the data commissioners. It's not clear. They've written a lot of letters. And it's not clear what kind of response they're getting back, if any. And I don't really know how this makes it a lot easier to do something in before the May deadline for with penalties. Certainly, what certain contracted parties are talking about is if they don't have something better, they will essentially cut back the. What they display and who is to, you know, the name of the owner, but no other contact information or something like that, and nothing else other than what is in the DNS itself. From a point of view of fighting, cyber malware and malicious activities, that would almost close the door on most of the tools they use. And it's not clear how we could go forward in that kind of environment without, major problems on the internet. We're barely keeping ahead of the malicious people right now, or maybe we're not keeping ahead of them, but we're trying to keep up with them. And I wonder to what extent is the GAC trying to actively involve. I mean, the GAC has a major effort and a significant effort with the with the group looking at cybercrime and malicious activities, but it's not clear you have a comparable representation from the privacy side of governments. And I wonder how do we get them involved so that they're seeing both sides of this.
Yes, thank you, Alan. I'm still trying to connect in Adobe, but I haven't managed yet, but try once more. You made reference to the PSWG, which is the Public Safety Working Group, where we have now not only law enforcement people, but also consumer protection experts and also data protection experts. Mainly through the European Commission, who is with Katrin, who is bringing in not just one side, but actually the others as well. And I mean, we've had this exchange with data protection authorities and the UN Data Protection Commissioner in Copenhagen, and there was a follow-up, I think, in Joburg of that discussion. And Theresa is trying to, has planned to set up a meeting with DPAs, with European and other interested DPAs before Abu Dhabi, but I think that was too short, so that may happen after. But I think basically the people are there, they are alarmed or informed or whatever you want to call it. And of course there are some differences, of course, in the GAC between EU countries that are, let's say, directly affected by this, and others who may be less affected or have different views on what that means or how much that should actually be taken into account or what possible measures should be. So there are a number of discussions going back and forth in several directions. But I think given the importance of this, that we'll somehow be able to find solutions that work. And I mean, from the PSWG, what I see is that basically the tendency is going in a direction that says, well, there are two things. One is to have the data, and the other one is to develop rules on who and under what conditions these data can be accessed. So that, for instance, law enforcement and consumer protection can have access to the data, but not just under some conditions, but not just any individual that just wants to look up things. So I think that this is actually solvable if the people really want to solve it.
Well,
and ways should be found to allow this to respect data protection as well as allow law enforcement and consumer protection agencies and people to do their job.
There are two real problems in the short term, though. Although everyone agrees that some level of tiered access should exist, with the current WHOIS, that's not possible. And the progress on a replacement GDRDS is going very, very slowly, and certainly is not going to be in place by May. And the related issue is a huge amount of the work is done by private investigators, before it gets to law enforcement in many cases. And in many cases, these people are the ones who invoke law enforcement when it gets to a certain point. So, and they're not credentialed right now, and it's not obvious how one would provide access to them. But the short-term problem is that we are stuck with the current WHOIS protocol, which doesn't allow any level of tiered access. It's either there or not there. And, that's our challenge in the next few months, because the penalties are so large if indeed the data commissioners find that countries are violating the rules. They're not countries, companies. I don't know the way through. I don't think anyone does.
Yeah, but, I mean, this problem must be solvable. Whether there needs to be some temporary intermediary thing in May before the new system is in place or whatever, or like this waiver as an intermediary measure. But I mean, this is so important that a solution will need to be found and have to be found.
I mean, ultimately a waiver, because of the long history of WHOIS, and it's not new, a waiver from the data commissioners would be the optimal way. But, the question is, how long would that work? And my understanding is they are not willing to make the statement ahead of time that they will give a waiver. And therefore, companies, the contracted parties, are not really willing to take the risk on the hope that a waiver will be granted. So anyway, that's where we stand. It's going to be an interesting meeting in Abu Dhabi, I think. The next bullet item on your agenda is lowering barriers to participation between communities. And I'm not quite sure what that means.
Well, I'm giving up on Adobe, so it just says connecting and the bar is blue until the end, but nothing happens, so I'm giving up now. Well, the lowering barrier thing is something that we've discussed already for some time now. This is one side of one work track, if I may call it that way, on the attempt to make ICANN more inclusive to non-insiders, to make ICANN more easily understandable, the process easily accessible. One thing is the prioritization issue, where we have seen that Jöran is taking this up and is trying to do a little bit more planning and budget, a little bit more coherent strategic budget, financial and work planning with including elements of prioritization. And the other part is what we call lowering the barriers. Just to give you some example, that it starts with documenting, naming documents, from having a date, having a reference to the process, giving information about who writes the document, to whom the document is written, trying to use language that is understandable to people who haven't been on every call of a particular process. These are the kind of low-hanging fruits that would make it easier for people who do not have the resources to spend the whole day on ICANN issues, but actually step in momentarily, and that's for government people from, let's say, developing countries, but also from other stakeholders, like, I guess, ALEC, from the ALEC circles, that we are trying to create the momentum and get to some concrete measures, how I can develop and communicate these processes in a way that they are easily understandable, that people can at first easily understand what this is about, whether it's relevant for you or not relevant, and if it's relevant, then find out how can they make their voice heard, how can they bring themselves in. That also goes to public comments, which is a great tool. But in order for somebody to meaningfully participate in the public comment, you also there would need to understand what this process is about, where the process is a particular public comment, what are the relevant issues, that there is a little bit more awareness and some tools to present issues before a public comment, during a public comment in a way that actually people can make their voice heard. And don't have to spend days to understand what something is about and then give up and do not make their voice heard. So this is basically the issue that we are raising now with every SONAC that we are in contact with, and seek support for the objective of this, and also seek support and cooperation for tabling this in ICANN, wherever we can, and for developing concrete measures. And then, as I said, there are some lower-hanging fruits, like agreeing on how to name and communicate documents. There are some more complicated issues in getting to some habits of writing documents, of explaining things in a way that it is understandable. And the thing is that a proof has been made that this is actually feasible. With the transition, there was lots of effort to create graphics, to simplify things in a way that allow people to understand what these community powers are, and so on and so forth. So even if something is quite complicated as a transition, it can be explained in a way that people understand. But this is normally not done. It had only been done with the transition because everybody knew that this is so important, so they did it. But that the fact that they did it there means that it can be done, and it should be done basically on all issues, that this is explained in a way that people can look at things in 1 hour or so, and then realize, okay, this is important for me. These are the issues. This is where I can find further information. This is, this is the idea of this item.
Well, you certainly have the support of ALEC and at large, and I invite anyone else on my side to make a comment. We are in the process of, as you know, we've gone through an at-large review. The review itself was a disaster. I can't use any other words than that. However, one of the issues identified, and it wasn't a surprise because we told the reviewers about it, was we have a lack of participation. We have very few people who can quickly get up to speed and put the amount of time into it. The same issues that everyone has. Except it's worse with our people because none of them are employed in this industry. So it's all essentially a hobby. And we are putting together a program where we can try to inform people within local communities what's going on, again, in words they understand. It would be delightful if ICANN in general produces these documents, but if they don't, then we will do it ourselves, and see if we can reach out to people and make contact and get them interested without having to make the level of commitment that they do right now. So we certainly support the effort, and to the extent that ICANN can be convinced to do it in the general case. All of our documents cannot be made simple. We deal with complex issues. But can we have a synopsis and a summary which makes it easier for people to get involved in it, that's what we're hoping we can do. So I think we're 100% supportive of what you're talking about.
Alan, it's Mark Carvel speaking from the GAC side.
Yes, please go ahead.
I just want to underline one aspect of this, which connects with what you were saying earlier about ensuring diversity of participation. This multi-stakeholder model of bottom-up policy development and so on will only work effectively if you have diversity of participation. So analyzing where the barriers are, I think, is very important in understanding how we get a greater diversity of participation so that all views are reflected in cross-community discussions, be it on geographical names or whatever. So, you know, it really does connect with enhancing the model and ensuring that the multi-stakeholder processes work fully and effectively and are not hijacked by those who have the resources, big corporates and so on. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm not sure we're going to stop people who have a vested interest from investing their resources in it, but we've got to at least try to get other people involved. And it's a challenge. I can't say anything else. The number of people we have who are really knowledgeable about these areas is painfully small. And there's only so much each of these people can do. So we've got to get more people involved, but it's a big investment. And, you know, just the concept of telling people they should participate in teleconferences, which either happen in the middle of their night or happen in the middle of their working day, where they have a boss who expects them actually to be working, is a real challenge. And I don't think we're going to eliminate them. So we're going to have to look far and wide to find people who are willing to make that commitment or capable of making the commitment. Anyone else on this subject?
Alan, it's Olivier.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yes, thanks, Alan. Olivier Clapin of Blanc speaking. I think we have a double problem at large, which is that the moment that someone actually shows some, not only interest, but has some time and some knowledge of the issues, they often do not remain in at large. They end up being employed by governments on the one hand, or employed by ICANN, or employed by a party that has a commercial stake in there and that can pay them for what they're doing. So we've lost a lot of volunteers, unfortunately, that our best volunteers, in fact, in many cases. We've lost to them becoming professionally involved and therefore not being able to remain within at large. So we have a double problem of not being able to find people that have enough time, enough commitment, enough knowledge to engage in the issues. And then once they've got enough time, enough knowledge, they get hired. So there you go.
Can you blame them?
It's a testimony to at large. But, well, I think we should just, you know, we should just, like, shackle them to at large chairs and not allow them to go. But unfortunately, apparently, you can't do that. So,
someone told me there was a law against it. Tijani, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Alan. Tijani speaking. I think that making the document more simpler or more understandable is an art. It is a skill. It is not given to everyone, especially because not everyone is English speaker or is native English speaker. So this is, I think, you need the support of professionals in this. What happened in the CCWG in the transition was that we made use of professionals in infographics, drawing, etc. We didn't do it ourselves. And if we have to do so for each SO and AC, I am not sure that ICANN will accept to pay the cost. So I understand your point, Thomas. It is a real point, but I think we will not find the solution for it. It will be we will make the effort to try to make an executive summary for each document. I think this is something which is helpful. But I am not sure we will solve the problem entirely, because still everyone will not find easily if it is interesting for him or her or not. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. It is going to be a hard sell in some cases, because, yes, we probably are talking about real money being spent to do this. I don't see an alternative if ICANN is going to claim that they are really a multi-stakeholder group and not just an industry support group. But the challenge you've identified is really there. There's no question.
Yes, thank you. But the thing is, as you say, I mean, either I can claim that it's inclusive and truly multi-stakeholder for all stakeholders and not just the ones that have the resources to participate. And that means that they, at least in some important cases, have to they spend money on other issues as well. So they will have to spend money or may have to spend money on training their own staff. That's probably also a rather low-hanging fruit, because many of it is an awareness issue. So it's not that, and in particular also if you're not an English speaker, sometimes the language of the English speakers is simpler than the ones of the English speakers. And particularly the lawyers are the ones that like to make things complicated so that only they understand. But I mean, it's not a zero or one issue, but you will never solve the problem 100%, but much more can and needs to be done. Otherwise, it's a question of honesty or sincerity of ICANN to say, okay, we are an open institution, and open does not just mean putting thousands of pages on a website, but actually making things understandable to somebody who is at least having some interest, but maybe is not an insider. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else have any thoughts on this issue?
Alan, to Libby again.
Yes, please go ahead, Olivier.
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Clefana Blanc speaking. Sorry, I had some Adobe Connect issues. Seem to be back. I entirely agree with what Thomas has said, and I think that, you know, there are dozens of different barriers why end users, individuals, et cetera, and outsiders can't take part fully in ICANN processes. Over the years, we have identified them, but fixing them, as Alan says, does require actual significant investment both in staff and in resources. The resources being that these days we're not only dealing with just a generation that reads. In fact, they don't. Videos, you know, small snippets of videos and stuff, all of that, today's internet needs to be used in a much smarter way for all of the marketing that is needed. And I use that word, marketing, that is needed for more people to take part in these processes. And unfortunately, we haven't seen that. We've seen a few test pilot things here and there, but we haven't seen an actual real strategy around this to tackle this problem from a multi-pronged angle. And that's why we're constantly, you know, discussing the same thing year in, year out, unfortunately, with very little progress forward. Thanks.
Thank you, Olivier. If you want a slightly positive note on this, the hiring of people goes in both directions. And one of the people who did work with the transition and accountability from the outside firm with ICANN that helped make it more understandable has been hired by ICANN. And that's Patrick Dodgson. And he spent 2 days with the RDS review team at the beginning of this week, and we ended up, I think, with a far more productive meeting because we had that kind of facilitation that we have not had before. Now, he's not one of the ones who did the drawings, but nevertheless, there seems to be an indication that maybe ICANN understands that we do need really professional people in some of these things if we're going to make the multi-stakeholder model work. So a small positive note, if nothing else. The last item.
Just
on
one thing
sure,
about this. Sorry.
Sure.
I think the only thing that will work is if we issue advice and basically request ICANN to identify lower and higher hanging fruits and implement the lower ones immediately, and for the more difficult ones, develop a strategy, as you say. Unless we formally ask them to do this, nothing happens, I guess. And you may think of issuing a similar advice, or we can even do a joint advice.
I was just going to say, maybe this is the opportunity that we can issue a joint statement. We've never actually done it. Maybe this is the one
that's
uncontroversial enough that we can actually do it and come out of Abu Dhabi with something like that.
And let's table it for our bilateral exchange in Abu Dhabi as one of the agenda items. Okay.
Yeah, I think we may want to do a little bit of work ahead of time. Otherwise, there won't be an opportunity for us and you to both draft something and issue the statement at the same time.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, let's try and do something before Abu Dhabi if we can, and then see how far we get.
Okay,
great. Thank you.
And the last item on the agenda is SOAC Chair's Meeting Prep and Insights for ICANN 60. There's a lot of issues that are going on right now at the ACSO chair level. They relate largely to the selection of review teams, the processes associated with the selection of review teams, and the ESSAC has just issued a letter saying that they believe the SSR review team review may fail because of what's been happening within that review team. That just happened a few days ago, and I haven't taken any action on it yet. Certainly, we are going to talk to our representatives on that group. I think one of the problems that I don't know what the cause of the difficulties is with the SSR review, and we need to understand that more. I suspect part of the problem is that we are not necessarily appointing the right people to these teams, and I think the whole process is somewhat faulty compared to what it was to the previous one when the chair of the GAC and the CEO or chair of the board did the selections, because I think they could be more discriminating than the chairs can under the current procedures, but I'm not sure that's the problem. But there's certainly going to be a fair amount of discussion over the next few weeks and in Abu Dhabi about that. I'm not sure what other issues you're referring to in that bullet item, Thomas, so I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah. Alan, I came in quite late at that call that was held on something like 22 or so September, because I was just arriving in Montevideo, but I got in for the last 50 minutes of that call about this. But you have all seen the mail that I wrote to the ESSO and AC chairs list about some feedback and some concrete issues. The problem is, I mean, as you say, it was not ideal that the CEO and the GAC chair were the only ones to select people, but I think that the new model, is what we are realizing now, is even worse, because if every SNAC is supposed to nominate three people, and for instance, I forget which one of the, I think it's the ATRT3 review, we have one or two persons that identified themselves as wanting to be endorsed by the GAC, and the second one we didn't know that person. He has no connection to the GAC, and this doesn't really make sense. And then, for instance, if one SO or AC just nominates one or no person, then again that doesn't help getting a right balance. So we actually really need to think of a completely new procedure. We may, for instance, so this is thinking out loud, we may think of, instead of just sending out a proposal or sending out a call for volunteers, again, that we actively look, every SONEC actively looks for people that they think are appropriate for a particular issue, and then we sit together and somehow go through this list of people or have another committee or a group of people deciding, but just to let people themselves affiliate themselves to an SONAC and what is coming in has no, there's no checks and balances that you actually get people who are able of doing this and somehow representing or affiliated to the SONACs. So I think the process as it is now with what we are realizing doesn't really work much less, even less than the one before, and that we were trying to improve and make it more accountable or transparent or distributed. So we really need to basically, in my view, go back to square one and think about, okay, what are the people that we need? What are the criteria that they should fulfill? What are the checks and balances in terms of distribution or representation that we want to achieve? And then develop a new mechanism that may be completely different or at least different in some key ways from what we have now. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. A couple of comments. First of all, we have, ever since ATRT1, we have always had people applying, asking for our endorsement, who we have never heard of before. So that's, for us anyway, that's not a new phenomenon. What is a new phenomenon, and in general, we have rejected those people. What is new, I think, is that we are not getting, partly we are not getting enough people who are really good, and that is a problem. And second of all, we and at large anyway, are subject to extreme criticism if we pick the old reliable people who we know what they're talking about, because then we're accused of only selecting, you know, our friends and not giving new people a chance. And, you know, although there's merit on occasionally putting people you know who are not quite as seasoned on, in a group like that, because new ideas are worthwhile, you also need a core of people who are really experienced. And in some of the cases, we're not getting enough applicants to satisfy that. And, you know, whether it's just not as interesting anymore as it was before or what, I really don't know. But we've seen that in pretty well all of the reviews. So I certainly have some worry about that, and perhaps a bit of guilt if some of the people that we or other people have actually consciously appointed to the AT, to the SSR review, are one of the problems. And I don't know that yet, but it'll be interesting to investigate it. But the process right now is not working very well, and I think there's some interest in trying to fix it. But it's not clear what the fixes are, especially if we're not getting applicants. And certainly from that largest point of view, we do on occasion, you know, buttonhole people and say, are you going to apply? We can't guarantee we're going to select them, but we certainly have tried to make sure we have good people in the mix, but not always successfully. Tijani, please go ahead. I see Gulten also has her hand up. Please, Tijani, and then we'll go to you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Alan. I think that we should continue to ask people to apply. This is we cannot force people to come to any team. So I think the failure was that we couldn't make good people apply. So the effort we should do is to try to make the call wider and try to find the good people and ask them to apply or push them to apply. This is the effort we can do. Otherwise, I don't think there is another way to get people to those review teams. There is no magic way to have people on the review team, the good people, as you said. Because if they don't apply, if they don't want to be there, they will not.
Yeah, but I mean, again, not everything that is difficult is not improvable. So we may also think of the issue of compensation, that people may get some money for the work. If the volunteer thing does not work, that's one thing that would need to be looked at. The other thing is that maybe, for instance, a part of the people or a number of the people that are part of such a review team could not be ICANN insiders for professional, let's say, consultants that have an experience in governance issues of an organization like ICANN. There are people, well, they would need to be paid, but maybe one or two experts in NGO or corporate governance may do some good to these reviews. So there are things we could at least look at. That there are things that can be improved.
Yeah, thank you. The current rules do allow any of the review teams to hire experts and pay them. That is within the current rules. So, Gulten.
Thank you, Alan. I would like to address the comments Ilya indicated with regard to the previous agenda item in the chat pod. T-type that I will try to coordinate the preparations for making a joint statement in Abu Dhabi, if you agree. Thank you, Ilya.
Ah, so I see what you're talking about now. Yes, I'm not quite sure how we go about it, because we really need to have something that each of us can talk about ahead of a draft statement that each of us can talk about ahead of time. So we almost need something that is drafted ahead of time. We can discuss it and then try to match them. Or the alternative is not to do it in the GAC communique coming out of Abu Dhabi, but both of us to issue it sometime after that, saying taking Abu Dhabi as an opportunity to draft it, and then perhaps finalizing it a month or two later. But
yeah,
Uriah,
that would also be an option.
Yeah, Uriah, thank you for looking at that, and yes, we very much welcome if you could try to work with both groups and come up with some way forward. It would be really nice if we both issue a single statement under both of our names. That would be a first time, and would really send a message to the board, I think, and perhaps to the rest of the community. Anything else? We are officially out of time, and we've finished all the items on the agenda. Is there anything else anyone wants to raise?
Alan, this is Rob Hogarth. Just to let you know that Heidi and I will be in touch to start putting together the agenda for your conversations in Abu Dhabi. You've already reached a consensus on one of them. So if any of the leadership on either side does have suggestions or other things that you want to make sure are chatted about or mentioned or worked through in Abu Dhabi, please let us know as we put together that preliminary agenda for you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
All right. If there's no other comments, then I thank everyone for attending. Next time we'll try to make sure that Thomas's technology is working, and we'll see you all in Abu Dhabi, if not before.
Technology, it's not necessarily mine. I have a standard government computer, Internet Explorer. So, but I'm hearing that others have Adobe issues too, and sometimes it works very well, sometimes it works after 10 times trying, sometimes it doesn't work at all. It's really not satisfactory, at least not for me. Okay, but thank you all. That was a useful call, and yeah, let's try and get a few things done. I hope at Abu Dhabi, so that,
Thank you, and safe travels to all.
Thank you, safe travels to
bye-bye.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye, all.